Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
How many know that word unreasonable usually has a negative connotation, right? We think of somebody and we go, oh my gosh, they are so unreasonable. Like so unreasonable. Like I want to do something with them, but I can't work with them because they're unreasonable. The things that they ask for, it's unreasonable. They're just unreasonable. That's often how we think of that title. They're unreasonable. I hope by the end of this series that you have a different connotation. There is that side of it, but there's actually a whole nother side of unreasonable. I want to give you just an example that I've shared before, but many years ago now, my parents had a chance. It was on my dad's bucket list. We went to Disney for the first time on my dad's bucket list, and that was incredible. And then I found out, I hope there's more on his bucket list, but we'll see. But he wanted to take us to Mexico. That was on his bucket list. I had never been to a tropical place like that. That was on his bucket list. So we get to this resort, which is already being in Mexico, period, is incredible. We get to this resort, and these people were unreasonable. Let me share. We got to the counter and we just asked, you know, first time here, is it possible? I don't know. Like, could we maybe get an upgrade? Because we had three kids and my brother had three kids and we're thinking being stuck in this room, and they were so unreasonable, they gave us an upgrade. And it was such an unreasonable upgrade, actually. It was unreasonable. It was unfair, to be honest. It was completely unfair because we walked into this room and this room felt like it was bigger than our upstairs in our house. Like it had a hot tub, it had two beds and a pull-out couch. There was a room that I don't even know if we ever used. It was so big, like the family room. We had to do something, so we put our luggage on the couch because it was like, how do you use all this space? It was completely unreasonable. And we loved it. We loved how unreasonable. Let me tell you what else was unreasonable. If you've ever been to a place like that, they make the floors shine all the time. You ever been there and they're like constantly shining these floors? It's completely unreasonable. You could eat off these floors, it seems so amazing. You go to the buffet, how many have ever been to a resort buffet? Isn't it completely unreasonable? Like if you've ever been there, the food choices are incredible. I would always go in there for lunchtime. I'm gonna go in, I'm not gonna eat a lot. I'm not gonna eat a lot. And you start going down the aisle, oh my gosh, that looks good. Oh my. And you come back with a plate full of food and you're thinking about how to do seconds. It's completely unreasonable. I could tell you so many things about trips and different things that we've done that I can honestly, like the mountains in Alberta are unreasonable. They're so big. They're incredible. Now you might be wondering, how can I use the word unreasonable in a context like this? Go to the next slide, please. The definition of unreasonable is this. It says not governed or acting according to reason, exceeding the bounds of reason or modification, an unreasonable cost or experience. Right there, you know, like when you go to ask for, recently I was trying to figure out if I could put a hitch on my car. And so I was texting the girl that sold us the car because I know her, I got her number. And she's like, oh man, I'm sorry, you cannot pull with your vehicle, but we could get you into another one. Then she told me the price, and it was unreasonable in not a good way. All right, excessive, exorbitant, not fair. Like that's something else you think of. Like it is not fair when you're unreasonable. Excessive, beyond normal limits, immoderate, beyond reasonable limits. Now, sometimes to really get a definition and understand it, you need to go look at the opposite. So the next slide says what reasonable is. Reasonable means it's sensible and fair. So go back to my example when I got to the resort. Fair would have been that I got the same room as everybody else that paid for that price. That is fair. You following? That is sensible for them. But when I asked for an upgrade, they were unreasonable and excessive with what they did and gave us an upgrade for the same price. Now, I wish I could tell you every time I go somewhere, we always ask for an upgrade. We don't always get it. But this time they were unreasonable and they were not fair. Somebody else in that room or in that place had to pay for what I got for free. Not excessive or extreme has the same meaning, interesting, as unnecessary and sensible. Now, I just want to start with, if you've been in church if all your life or a good part of your life, can we just start? I'm not going to go. We just got done a series on the blood. How many know that when God sent his son to die on a cross, that was unreasonable? Like, let's just start there. God, who created the stars and the galaxies and the moon and everything, but planets, everything that we see. Now we're getting pictures with the, not the Hubble, but the other telescope. It's incredible. He would send basically himself, because it's three in one, but his son to not just die, to die a painful, harsh death for us. That's not fair. Like, have you ever thought about that? God, that's not fair. It should be me. It's not fair. It's unreasonable. That's why I always think when we come into worship, I'll probably preach one of these weeks on unreasonable praise, but I think we need to come in every day. I don't know if we need to put a sign up, but it's like, remember what God did so we can come and give him unreasonable praise. A lot of times my body likes to dictate how I praise. I give him a sensible level of praise based on my body. When my mom joked, she said, sorry, Jay, because I had to stand up and my back's sore and my butt's sore because we had a crazy idea yesterday. We thought it was a good idea with the Bondies to go bike around Pelee Island in 100-degree weather. That was unreasonable. So my body sometimes says, I don't really want to worship very hard today. And yet I think, how unreasonable and it's actually sensible. And I want to be unreasonable. You following me? It's not excessive or extreme. Today, I want to talk to you something, you know, if you've been alive and reading the news or on social media, I want to use this idea of unreasonable because my whole goal as a pastor in this house, if I could do anything well and I die and I'm like, man, I did this one thing well, my one thing would be, I want us to walk like Jesus walked. That's a good time to say amen. Like, that's really the goal of as a Christian. It says, Jesus said after he died, he said, go make disciples, go mentor people to walk or do as I have done. Our goal as Christians is really to become like Jesus. That's kind of unreasonable, excessive. And yet he's like, this is what I died for, so you can do this. So my goal is to go, Lord, how do I, and I'll be the first to say, I fall short of the glory of God. That's the whole point of salvation and the cross and mercy and forgiveness. But my goal is every day to go, Lord, how do I walk more like you? It's my goal. And then I want to go, Lord, how do I teach people to walk like you? And all I know as I teach this series that I believe that God shows us all the time that he is absolutely incredibly unreasonable. And we have to learn to be as well. All right? Following? Okay, so I was starting with, if you've been watching social media lately, if you've been watching the Olympics, anybody watching the Olympics? How many know the incredible controversy, let's say, that's going on from the opening ceremonies on? Raise your hand if you were aware of it at all, if you're alive. Okay. If you're alive, like, it is making news, the opening ceremonies, what happened, the mocking of, they really feel like it was the mocking of the Last Supper, Da Vinci's painting, mocking of Christianity. I don't really want to talk about that, actually. I want to talk about the response of the church is where I want to go. It's sad to see these things happening, isn't it? It really is sad to see these things happening. It's sad that they would portray a moment like that. And somehow we think that Jesus is up there really angry. But I want to read a few scriptures today that this was not new to Jesus. Getting mocked was not a new thing to Jesus. Okay, let's turn to scriptures. Turn to your Bibles or your phones, whatever else you have. Let's start with Luke. We're going to do a bunch of scriptures here. Turn to Luke 22. So if you didn't know the controversy as you're looking, that because of this thing, that there is a lot of backlash towards the Olympics, towards people, towards all these things. There's a lot of backlash. And then, of course, there's a controversy in the boxing right now. And, you know, we're not going to go into that. But all I'm saying is, what I want to talk about is how the church responds in moments like this. But I want to start with knowing that Jesus is not unfamiliar with being mocked. And part of what is happening is we all want to go, this is not fair. It's not. Turn to Luke 22. We're going to start at verse 63. It says, now the men who held Jesus mocked him and beat him. And having blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy, who is the one who struck you? And many other things they blasphemously spoke against him. So if you're catching the idea, they blindfold him and somebody comes up, it's like they're playing a game. They smack him and they're like, hey, tell us who, prophesy. Come on, you're a prophet, tell us who it was. He stopped to think for a minute. This is the Son of God. It's easy to read. Just read a name. But this is the Son of God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the stars, the moons, and they're smacking him, and he's taking it. So unfair. Right? You don't have to turn to this one. You can start turning to Matthew. I'll read this one. Turn to Matthew 27. And as I'm reading this one, this is Matthew 26. It says, then they spat in his face and they beat him, and others struck him with the palms of their hands. Prophesy. It's the same thing, just a different version. Prophesy as Christ. Who is the one who struck you? And now Matthew 27, 11 to 14. Now Jesus stood before the governor. And the governor asked him, saying, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus said to him, it is as you say. And while he was being accused by the chief priests and the elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate said to him, do you not hear how many things they testify against you? But he answered him, not one word. But look what it says. So the governor greatly marveled. It's interesting that his silence on an issue made people wonder. I'm deeply concerned right now that and you have to understand, I want to hit this from two points. I want you to know that there is a place for us to be involved in politics and seeing things rightly come to pass. Please know, if you're wondering at any moment, I'm saying, well, does he not want us to have godly rules and all that? Absolutely, absolutely. My concern is in this hour is, are we representing Jesus well? Shouldn't that be our concern? If we say, I want to walk like Jesus, our concern should be, if I'm walking, am I walking like Jesus and representing him well? Because my concern right now is, as a world, that we're not representing Jesus like Jesus walked. So we just read a couple of scriptures that he's being mocked and is silent. He's being falsely accused and he's silent. And I think the interesting thing is that they marveled greatly because he was silent. I don't know if you know this, if you're following the whole story. This is what grieves me. Did you know that people that were involved in that are having death threats against them? Like, one of them has gone into hiding because they're so scared. Now, if you are following and you're part of the world and that doesn't bother you, you're not the one giving them death threats. It's the people that it bothers, and most of them fall into the Christian realm. That saddens my heart. Saddens my heart. It saddens me that And you know what? It's probably radical ones, and I get that, but it still has the name of Jesus attached to it. And when it has the name of Jesus attached to it, that name goes with every church that's around. And I'm like, God, I want to represent you well. So then I have to ask myself, Lord, what would you do in this moment? What would you do in this moment? Let's read a few more scriptures. Turn with me. We'll continue with Matthew 27. Go to verse 27. Matthew 27, verse 27. This is continuing with the cross. It says, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him, and they stripped him. Son of God. This is the Son of God. And then they stripped him and they put a scarlet robe on him. And when they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and they mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be sacrificed. I think, you know, Mel Gibson is the one that portrayed this, I think, so well. And how horrific it was to watch the Son of God go through unreasonable things for who? Us. He was so unreasonable. Like, what would the sensible thing do? Like, how many times are like, you know, can you call down some fire? And then that's not the spirit I'm of. Because that would be the sensible thing, wouldn't it? I'm going to show you something that's so unreasonable. And if we're to walk like Jesus, this to me is the crutch of the whole message. If we're going to walk like Jesus, this is completely unreasonable. Turn with me to Luke. This is the gospel that says it so well. Luke 22 again. Sorry, 23. Because we're asking ourselves, how do we walk like Jesus in moments like this? There's a place where we don't lay down and just let anything happen, but I believe the pendulum has swung so far over here that it's becoming a challenge for us to, like, we have to find our way back to go, Lord, how do we love like you do? So we just read that he was mocked, he was slapped. They said, who slapped you? Prophesy. They put thorns around his head. They put scarlet, a scarlet robe, and they mocked him. And it says in chapter 23 of Luke, verse 32, it says, there were also two other criminals led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place of called Calvary, they were there, they crucified him and the criminals, because they were treating him like a criminal, right? On the one hand and on the other to the left. Then Jesus, here's the crux. Here's the thing that is so unreasonable. Jesus says to the people that are mocking him, the people that have beaten him, the people that have scourged him, the people that are just, they're literally in a different scripture. They're casting lots to see his garments. They're like, King of the Jews, why don't you call down and come off the cross? They're mocking him. And this is his response. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Because I'm kind of wondering where this has gone in our walk with the Lord as I look across the body of Christ. See, a lot of people are grieved at what happened. I'm actually grieved at the response of what happened. Because I see Jesus, I see different, especially in the States, prayer meetings being held. And I sometimes wonder, wouldn't it be amazing if we held a prayer meeting to cry out for their salvation? You following me? Like, when was the last time we had a prayer meeting to go, oh my goodness, we need to pray for these people in love and mercy? I was convicted because I thought, I've never thought it like that before. I've never thought to go, we need to pray. Not pray to get our rights back. We need to, like, Jesus came because he said, I have come because I love people. And I thought, we're mocking these people like they're mocking us. And Jesus from the cross says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I was grieved. I'm like, Lord, I am not walking the way you walked. Because I want things to go the way I want them to go. None of us want to lose privileges and rights, do we? Raise your hand if you like the freedom that you have in Canada. Bruce, you're smart. You're like, oh, not yet. I got to hear the question. I didn't want to trick you there, Bruce. I love the freedom that we have in Canada. I do not want to see it go away. But that's not why Jesus died. Jesus died to see people come to know the Lord. And we're so worried in North America, actually a lot of the world, I've had a chance to read different things from different parts of the world. A lot of the world actually does not understand North American Christianity. They really don't. Because they look at us fighting for rights and they're like, we're just trying to get the gospel out. Like we're walking in places where we might die to get the gospel out. And it seems like all you're doing is fighting to make sure you keep your rights. And I'm like, Lord, how are we missing it when we're actually, and I'm not saying anybody in this room or most of the people that I know would never send somebody a death threat, but I'm also going, Lord, there are Christians that are. And people say, those are just the radicals. Well, let me give you just a non-radical thing that Jeremiah Johnson is a prophet. I don't follow him much, but when he prophesied that Trump would get reelected, and when he was not reelected, he was one of the two or three big known prophets that came and said, listen, I missed it. I blew it. I repent. Please forgive me. Gosh, you think the church would be like, that's amazing. Do you know what happened to him? He got death threats from the Christians and he lost almost all of his income because he was, you know, people supported his ministry. He almost lost all of it in 24 hours because he repented. And I'm grieved. Please don't mistake that I think there's a place for us. Man, I think Christians should be running into politics. I really do. I think Christians should be involved in every area, but I think Christians should be learning. I think we got to get back to what does it look like to do this, to do it properly. And please know I am not right in everything. I'm convicted by my own message because there are moments that I'm like, how dare they? But as I processed it, I thought, Lord, if you were on the earth today, what would you do? Because everything I've read so far, there is nothing that we've done, people, that he's done. Because what I think he would have done is, Lord, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And because of that, I got to actually get close to them. Well, how do we know that? Who did Jesus dine with? Sinners, gluttons, tax collectors. That's why the people would be like, why is your master partying with these people? And he said, because the healthy don't need a doctor. I've come for those that are not. Turn to Matthew 5, please. Matthew 5. Verse 10, it says, Matthew 5, 10 to 12 says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you. So there's a part of me before I read on that makes me wonder, Lord, maybe you're moving up more on the earth than we realize because there's more persecution, there's more mocking coming. So maybe God is doing a thing. Maybe this is a blessed thing. Blessed are they. Okay, following me? Maybe not. For there's the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice. What? Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward. This is what Bruce talked about. Great is your reward on heaven, on earth. No, in heaven. For they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Verse 38, you have heard it. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. It's kind of what's happening here, isn't it? You mocked us, I'm gonna mock you. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile with you, go 2. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. Gosh, that sounds unreasonable, doesn't it? Like, doesn't it sound unreasonable? If you get slapped on one side, turn your cheek and get slapped on the other. If they ask for your garments, give them more. If they want you to carry your bag 1 mile, take it further and go 2. That is absolutely unreasonable. But I believe he writes these things, and please, the other thing I don't want you to mistake is that doesn't mean we become doormats. We just let everybody walk over us. But what it does mean is there are moments where God's gonna be like, hey, take it further. Let's bless this person. My first thought is often, I don't know if they deserve it. Have you ever thought that? Anybody else? You know, I don't know if this person deserves it. And by the way, the more you do it, the more God will do it with people that you know don't deserve it. Because he's like, yeah, that's the point. Did you deserve salvation? Did I deserve salvation? Honestly, let's just look at it. Did I earn my salvation? The fact that Jesus still walks with me and loves me is amazing, because I look at my life sometimes, I'm like, oh Lord, I miss it so many times. And he's like, I still love you because you still pursue me, and I love that. But so often I look and I'm like, that person doesn't deserve it. But that's why it's an unreasonable gospel and it's an unreasonable cross. And today I want you to let you know that God gives us unreasonable mercy. Because the minute that we think that we deserve it and somebody else doesn't, we are in trouble. We really are. And you're like, but those are drag queens and all that. Well, how many had other things in your life that you're like, that was a bad season? Or how many have ever thought something and you're like, that's a bad thought. Like that thought, they don't deserve it. To me, that's a bad thought. And I've had those thoughts. And that nudge. I just had a moment yesterday where, you know, that thing when you get served and that tax thing comes up and you got choices. It used to be 12%, and then it was 15% for paying taxes when somebody serves you. And now tips. That's why I was like, what? Tips, when you tip somebody, somebody serves you. And now when I was going to tip and pay my bill, it had 20%, 22%, or 25%. I'm like, holy cow, and you didn't even serve me. I just went up to buy something and so I was cheap and I didn't do anything. I'm like, no tip. And then I walked away and the Lord's like, really? You're gonna preach a message on God being unreasonable and you just walked away, no tip. I'm like, oh. And Karen, you're the one that obviously it didn't stick as much as it should have, but I watched you when you had no money and you guys would do unreasonable things. And I'll never forget that. So if you ever wonder, oh, like, did it stick? Most of it did. Every once in a while I fall back. But I'd be on a trip with them and I know their place and financially, and you know, they're struggling with Glenn and all the, and they would get out and pay the gas before I had a chance to. That was so unreasonable. And yet I thought about that going, Lord, how do they do that? How do they do that? And then I've watched people be unreasonable with them and blow them out of the water with generosity. So my point to that tip thing was that I was holding back because I was angry at this system that's been created, instead of going, Lord, do you want me to bless? And as I say that, I'm like, I'm scared of what that may look like in the future. But if we want to walk like Jesus walked, he was unreasonable. He was unreasonable with his mercy, his grace, his love, his generosity. He was unreasonable. So we have these scriptures that say, turn the other cheek and all these things. This is one of my key scriptures. I already read one of them about, Lord, forgive them for they know not what they do. That is unreasonable mercy. Anybody else want to agree? That is unreasonable mercy. Forgive them for they know not what they do. I wonder how many Christians in that moment, before they went to social media, dropped to their knees and went, Lord, forgive them for they know not what they do. I wonder how many. Our first knee-jerk reaction is a social media post and a boycott of the Olympics. I'm like, well, that does nothing for anybody. What I want it to be, I think it should be, Lord, forgive them. Lord, I'm guilty. I didn't do this. So please don't look like I didn't spend my day in prayer. But I am now saying, Lord, should this not be our response? Turn to James 2, verse 13. James 2, verse 13. It says this, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Ouch. But then it says, mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. That to me says, I want to show mercy. Because my portion is judgment if I show no mercy. And then it says, this is James, by the way, New Testament. So we're not in the old covenant. This is a new covenant. And then it says, mercy triumphs over judgment. One of the things that I think we've gotten really backwards is that we are trying to live a kingdom gospel in a new covenant, but we're pulling constantly from old covenant principles. We're like, let's take Jericho. Let's blow our shofars and burn this building down, not realizing that Jesus paved a new way for a new covenant, and we're supposed to follow him and his ways and how he did things. And his way of doing things was falling on his knees and saying, Lord, mercy, mercy, mercy. I'm preaching this because we are about to go and already are into a turbulent season. Because politics, doesn't matter where you live, it seems like American politics is everywhere. It's like, it's crazy to me. I'm like, I'm Canadian, but I can't turn on anything without seeing American news. It is permeating. Now, please hear what I'm about to say. I'm not telling which political person. If I was in America, I know who I'd have to vote for. But what I'm saying is that we need to respond the way whoever our Savior is, how he responds. Okay? We need to act like whoever our Savior is, we need to act like him. My concern right now is that when we put somebody up as a Savior, and it's not Jesus, we begin to act like them. And we're seeing it everywhere. I'm seeing it everywhere I go, that people are, as Christians, where 10 years ago, they would have never mocked somebody. I'm watching them mock people. And that is not anywhere in the gospel. Feel free to mock those who mock you. Like, is it not? Like, I don't find that. If I'm missing it, please. Now, people would say, well, Jesus came off strong. Do you know who he came off strong with? The religious leaders. Those that did not know the Lord, he didn't go in front of Pontius Pilate and Herod and mock them. He actually is either silent or gracious. So whoever our Savior is in that position, we're going to want to act like them. But if we put somebody in that wrong position, we're going to act like them. And right now I'm like, Lord, we need to get you. You are the Savior. You are the Savior. There's no other Savior that's around. You are the Savior. Now, politically, we need to vote. We'll have an election. That's why I'm like, oh gosh, we got a year of this because of the American election, and then we have the Canadian election. I'm like, I can't do a year of this. But we will. But how about we go about it by blessing and praying? And I'm not saying there's people not praying. Maybe you don't see a lot of this because you're not on social media, but my concern is this is what's becoming the norm as a Christian model. And there is this huge divide because much of the world is going, hey, if you guys are like that and you claim, who was it? Was it Gandhi that said, I love your Jesus, but you're Christians? I'm not sure. Like, that's a bad representation. Like, your Jesus sounds really amazing, but you guys, your representation, I'm not really sure. I want to learn to walk like Jesus. I'm like, Lord, I don't know what this looks like. I don't know how we go about it. I don't know how we try to keep godly laws, but all I know is that our behavior is not mimicking or acting like you. So, Lord, we need to repent and say, Lord, help us to figure this out. Because Jesus had an unreasonable mercy with people. Amen? Thank you, sir. Just a few thoughts I wrote down. Judgment breeds anger, while mercy plants the seeds for salvation. I don't know. I'm even thinking, what would that have looked like yesterday when my anger for this system of tipping, if I would have had a unreasonable mercy and generosity, what could that have looked like? I'm going to spend time thinking about that. Because just tipping doesn't mean anything, but tipping maybe with a blessing or something. You know, not just like, hey, I bless you. You know, not that. Like, Lord, what do you want me to say to this person? Like, what do they need to hear today? With a nice tip. Not tipping to be able to speak it in their life, although that opens the door. Why don't we stand? My concern is right now that we are actually doing the reasonable thing, the sensible thing of getting angry, the fair thing. This is not fair, so I'm going to get angry. I'm thinking God's calling us to be unreasonable. Can we just take a second, though, if you feel to, can we just ask the Lord to forgive us and forgive us on behalf of the body of Christ? Slowly stand today, aware that our actions personally and corporately as a body, that not just this body, but the body of Christ, we don't always align with how you walked the earth. And for that, we ask you to forgive us. Lord, we want to truly represent you on this earth. And when we fall short of that, I thank you already for your unreasonable mercy that forgives. But Lord, we come to you and we say, sorry. Sorry for not always representing you well. Would you forgive us? And Lord, we ask you to teach us how to represent you on this earth well. Lord, help us to go after godly laws that bless people. And also, Lord, help us to show unreasonable mercy. And Lord, would you cause us to get on our knees more often when we see these things instead of posting or just spewing our thoughts? Lord, would you get us to first get on our knees that we can ask for forgiveness on their behalf? And Lord, we lift them up to you right now. Lord, the last thing we want is for anybody to be injured or hurt or defamed. Lord, we ask for mercy upon those people. Lord, all those that have been spoken about over the last few weeks, we ask for mercy upon those people. We ask for your unreasonable grace. We ask for your unreasonable love to invade their life so they can turn as we did with your unreasonable love. We turn towards you, not away from you. Lord, today as we leave here, we ask, Father God, you would show us how to be unreasonable with people. Lord, it could be somebody that we're visiting and you give us the grace to be unreasonably gracious with them. It could be that we go out to eat and we give an unreasonable tip and we love on them. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us to walk like you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.